Header again, and Flick Goldwards and in as well. Phil Jagielka is up there and he's put Everton ahead. You'd have to say that was a very deft finish from the central defender.
It's a grand old team to play for. It's a grand old team to support. And if you know your history, it's enough to make your heart go.
Hello and welcome to this week's grandoldteam.com podcast. This is a new voice. You're probably used to Adam Partington, but he's now sunning himself in Mexico after getting married. So the commiserations, is it? Or is that well done, whichever way you look at it. Either way, I'm sure you'll all join us in wishing him many happy years of holy padlock. So this week you've got me, Dave, from Grand Old Team, and Andy here. We're just going to discuss how bad we were on Thursday night and then go on to discuss how bad we're going to be against Manchester United on Sunday. So what do you think, Andy? What's your take on what happened on Thursday?
For me, it was a mix of not having the forward that we need and just bad individual play. For the start, for the goals, I mean, every goal can be put down to one player making a pretty big error. But a lot of that comes from being too deep, I think, just from not having someone that can hold the ball.
For me, I just think it's that he doesn't know what his best team is. This is going to sound stupid in ours. We've got a random bag of pasta shapes. You know where you've got like just bits that you've used up and it just goes into one box? He's got a random bag of players.
Yeah.
And I don't think he knows. He's got that many midfielders. He doesn't know what to do with them. He can't fit them all in. Are you going to get a team with Sigurdsson, Vlasic and Rooney at the same time? I just don't know. I don't know at all.
I just really think that you could put any of them players in and it'd work pretty much the same. But what we're missing is that striker.
Yeah.
Because you've seen how deep we were against... what's their name?
Ruzembarok. Atalanta.
Atalanta, but the Ruzembarok game as well.
Yeah.
And I think we're so deep because every time we clear the ball, we've only got Dominic Calvert-Lewin, who likes to play down the line, and he'll just, but he doesn't hold the ball up, he'll run it, until he loses it, and a lot of time it's coming straight back to us, and we're not having time to even get out and get set again before we get the ball back, and I don't think that we're seeing the best of Sigurdsson or Rooney from not having, because no one's getting up the field to even
support it. And like you say, there is no, we could have had Dixie Dean playing up front the other day, we still wouldn't have scored.
No
one's really given them anyone up front. Like when Calvert-Lewin is there, no one's actually giving him any service.
Yeah, I think even when he has got the ball, he's so isolated because of the way he plays, he doesn't hold the ball up.
Yeah.
So we never have time to get people in support of him.
Yeah.
So either way, we're going to end up deep because the ball keeps coming back too quickly.
That's the thing. It's just, it doesn't, I mean, I know after the game as well, I know there's been a lot of people saying, oh, Coleman's got to go, which I'm not in agreement with that. I'd stick with him for now. I mean, someone said yesterday they'd give him 10 games, but that was the ninth one.
Yeah.
You know, so it's a difficult one. I would stick with him for now. I think getting rid of him would be just a little bit premature. I mean, obviously, if we're still like that at the end of October and we haven't won, because I really can't see us getting anything on Sunday, but if we're still like the way we are with no shape and no... There's just no... We've got all these creative midfielders, but they can't create anything. Yeah. There's no actual chances.
The only solution I can see is to put Rooney up front to hold the ball up and get the other players involved around them and get the whole team further up the pitch. But how long you can do that role for and how many games on the run, I don't know. And whether he can still play,
the pace for that as well?
And you'd have to play Dominic Calvert-Lewin fairly close to him.
That's true.
To give him something else.
I think they do. Going back to the Stoke game, and I know Calvert-Lewin laid on Rooney's goal, and they do seem to, when we have had good spells, they do tend to link up well together. It's just getting. What I saw on Thursday was as bad as anything we saw under Martinez, I think. I know that's not consistently being like that, but it doesn't fill me with confidence. Not that I like doing this, but if we write Sunday off and then we've got Sunderland, I just can't see us creating anything against Sunderland either, because there's nothing.
I think we've got enough individual like talent to get through games like Stoke, like we did against Stoke, without having someone that can hold the ball up, because they're not as good at coming back onto us.
Yeah, yeah.
But against teams like Chelsea,
anyone with any decent attackers,
anyone with an attack,
you
can't sustain the whole game of not having anyone that can hold the ball. And I really think every single problem we're having is coming from the ball coming back too quickly before we can get our midfielders around to support whoever we have up there at the time.
Yeah.
And I don't think we've got a solution. Is that, you know, sacking Koeman, I don't think so.
No, you've still got the same players. Exactly. I know there is players, but it's still the same squad, isn't it?
To be honest, I'm not sure what we can blame him for, because you're not telling me that he didn't try everything to get a striker in the window.
Giroud was going to come, wasn't he? But his wife, who said no because she didn't want to move. So
I'm not sure why we didn't, but it can't be down to Koeman that.
No.
It has to be a certain kind of striker. We've got Dominic Calvert-Lewin that can do one kind of job, but the one we're missing is the one that Lukaku half gave us, because he did hold the ball up sometimes.
He was a big lad as well, wasn't he? Yeah. What about Ramirez? What do you think about him? Would you use him as a sort of centre-forward, or do you not think he's that kind of player?
Do you know what? I still can't decide on him.
When we bought him, I thought he's going to be cracking him, and we haven't really seen him do anything, have we?
So I'm going with old judgment. Yeah, for a while.
Did your dad watch it the other night as well?
No, he didn't.
I was going to say, I personally wouldn't, but I've heard a few people say give Nias a chance. I'm not sure I would. I don't think he's anywhere near good enough.
But he's also no different. He's not going to hold the ball up for us.
He's not a big lad, is he? He's very slight. He's just another. Just be like Calvert-Lewin, couldn't he? You know, I would rather give a kid a chance if they've decided he's not going to.
I don't think it's a slight on Calvert-Lewin.
Oh no, not at all.
It's not his game to hold the ball up.
No,
and also we're not giving him the support that he needs.
Mm.
How we go about that is still a loss. Another reason I'm really against blaming Koeman is even for the goal. With the leg cut inside onto his right foot, was a second goal, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Koeman spoke about how much they'd gone over.
Yeah.
Watching that lad cutting onto his right foot.
Yeah.
And shoot. Yeah. And we didn't stop it. And I wonder if the reason we didn't stop it is because we were so deep.
Yeah.
That it was Vlasic that went out to meet him rather than a deeper midfielder that went out to meet him. If you know
what I mean.
We'd be more adept to say, okay, this is how I'm going to deal with this. I've watched the video where I imagine like more forward players kind of turn off when it comes to watching.
What got me was there was not much effort. They were slow. Not that they didn't look interested, but there was no initiative from them. They weren't running. They were second to every ball. The other team got every 50-50. The other team seemed to want it more. Yeah. I hate saying that, but that's just the way it was.
I've not watched much of them this year. Atalanta, but from what I heard on the radio, this is some TalkSport.
Yeah,
it was saying they're fast paced, they come at you quickly, and they're gonna press you. So TalkSport knew that, Ronald Koeman knew that.
Of course.
So, you know,
why weren't we prepared? Was it yesterday and said we weren't prepared? Or right after the game, and said we weren't prepared. They should have been prepared.
Yeah,
I completely agree.
But attitude a lot of the time can come from winning games and taking chances, and it must be hard when the ball keeps coming back at you and coming back at you, and you're getting the pressure to look positive and to look like you're fighting. I mean, I've seen Baines getting a lot of stick as well, and I'm not sure why, because Baines has done that job for years now. He hasn't really got forward since Pienaar left.
Not properly the way he used to.
He's not been combining with people down the wing like he used to. Yeah. He's done the same job for years and just a solid job, and I'm not sure what...
I don't like the need for the scapegoat that you seem to see on Twitter, certainly. Yeah. You know, there's been a few of the years. I mean, Osmond's been the biggest one, hasn't he? Because of what he brought out in his book or whatever. But I don't know, it's... Osmond was one, then it was Naismith who won a lot of people over in the end, didn't he? And then I just hope people aren't looking for another one now, I think.
Especially not Baines.
Of course. I mean, he's been here long enough, hasn't he? He's obviously proven that he's been a decent player. But I think that's probably enough depressing each other over Thursday. Let's move on to Manchester United on Sunday. We'll see Lukaku faces for the first time. We'll also see Rooney go back to Old Trafford for the first time as well. But I'm not sure. People have been saying, will he celebrate if he scores? I'm not sure that we're going to get the ball to him to score. So I wouldn't worry about that one, to be honest with you. Lukaku's come out today, I think, and said that he doesn't really care what happens about Everton. I'm not really sure I'm too angry about that, because he's not an Everton player anymore.
No.
Would we expect, for example, David Klaassen to say, oh no, Ajax are the most important thing in the world, if we were to meet them in Europe or something, you know?
Lukaku, that's his attitude.
Of course.
You knew exactly what we were getting with him.
We were a stepping stone and nothing
we
more.
We knew all the time that he was looking to leave. Every minute of every game, we knew that he wasn't. His heart wasn't in it for Everton, was it? He was just looking for that move.
Going back to, I know we mentioned Leon Osman before, I think he got a lot of stick a year ago, I think, or around about then, for saying that Romelu Lukaku doesn't play for Everton, he plays for Romelu Lukaku, which he got slated for saying, but I think it turns out he pretty much hit the nail on the head with that, really.
Yeah, I'm surprised he got stick for that. I thought everyone knew
it
that.
It was a bit obvious, wasn't it? I think it was just more Osman bashing, but then, that was fashionable at the time, I suppose. I'm not sure we're going to get anything whatsoever out of this. I've not an attitude I like taking lightly, but I've sort of written this one off in my head. Can't see us getting anything away to Old Trafford.
No,
I'm not sure.
I think it's one of them where we should just write Sunday off, because if we get something, I'll be amazed.
Yeah,
and just look at building against the teams that we've got coming up after that. I mean, even if we were playing great, that was a hell of a run of games to get anything out of at all. So to blame Koeman. Let's just see how we get on when we can actually get some football played against lesser teams.
Yeah.
Maybe they come too soon in having that newer squad.
Yeah.
Because they're so attacking against you that you haven't even got time to build any kind of pattern or develop any kind of links together.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe if we'd had more time against lesser teams to build an actual shape and get some patterns of play going where you could say, okay, we're starting to link now, before we just got an onslaught of, world-class players.
We've just
been
battered, haven't we? We've had qualifiers, which we've been wary that have been potential banana skins, which bring their own pressure. Then we've had loads of decent sides. I wouldn't even say Stoke was an easy one to start with, because, they're a hard team to beat.
No.
Hard to break down the 11 Grocks who kick here and all that, But who's our next one? Sunderland, and then, is it a European game or is it a league game after the...
It's Lyon in 2 weeks.
Lyon.
No, is it Apoel in 2 weeks or Lyon?
I think it's Lyon,
Is it?
Yeah. But I don't know. It doesn't. I'm just at a low ebb. I'm just trying to think about how much are we actually going to get beat by tomorrow, and how are we going to score? It's gloomy at the minute.
It is for me. Did we really expect anything different apart from on Thursday? Did we really expect anything different? We could have expected the odd draw.
Yeah.
But in reality.
Yeah.
You're going to get beat against these teams, and that's just what happens.
There'll be a lot of people who looked at the fixture list and thought, we'd draw against Stoke, get beat by Spurs, get beat by Chelsea, get beat by Man U, get beat by Man City. We've won one, drawn one against Man City. Okay, we got beat. If you're just looking purely at league form, we've got, 4 points after four games? After that start, I'm not saying that's fantastic, but it's better than no points after all those games. So
if these games were spaced out over the season, you'd barely
notice. It wouldn't seem so bad,
It's just because it's
they've come in one great big chunk, haven't they? Yeah. It's interesting, to say the least. Do you think we'll go after another striker in January? Or do you think
we have to? We have to. Mm-hmm. I think it really is affecting the whole team. I really think that all the disorganisation from the back is coming from...
It's unbalanced.
The ball coming back so quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I've watched especially the last two games, and the defence don't even have time to set up again. It's just that quick.
Mm.
And we're so deep that we're not getting support to anyone further up. And you've got Rooney chasing back the left-back positions in that game, on Thursday night. And he's the person you need further up the pitch, especially at his age. If he's going to be chasing that far back, the likeness he's going to have anything further going forward is slim.
I've seen a few people as well say that Schneiderlin's had a few, not shockers, but he hasn't really been on form, has he?
Sort of
had a bad start to the season under the radar, really.
Yeah.
I've seen a few people say they wouldn't play him and Garner together.
Yeah.
I'm not so sure. I think they're quite good. I'm not convinced they're the same player. I would, because you see Garner just legging it round, tackling and winning the ball back. Yeah. Whereas Schneiderlin's more of a, not holding midfield player, but he's, you know, the old-fashioned sort of general midfield rather than attacking midfield or defensive midfield. Yeah. That just seems like a general. I can see
a pivot position.
I would say, guys, you're going with the ball back, and that's that. Not necessarily Thomas Gravesen, but that sort of thing.
So I
personally would play them together. The question for me is, where do you fit Tom Davies in? Because I think he's too good to leave out.
He is, yeah.
You know, I'd bring him off the bench. I don't think he was even in the squad on Thursday night, was he, to even bring on? Not that he would make much difference, sure.
The thing I don't want to see is him playing on the right, like he had done in the qualifier before. Yeah. If you're going to put a young lad in, you need to put him where he's comfortable.
Of course.
And if you put him on the right, he played well, he'd done a job, but I feel like his confidence is going to suffer if he's not getting playing as well as he was last season when he was in the position that he likes to play in.
Mm-hmm.
But where would you fit him in?
Exactly, that's the thing. Would you keep him as a sub to just... See, I would be a bit worried with him about burning him out. He broke through last season.
Yeah.
Is the thing to do this season, throw him in and burn him out, potentially, you know, or would you sort of bleed him and keep him on the bench, bring him on, not as an impact sub, but just, bleed him in properly, you know.
I think he would be okay playing next to Schneiderlin or Gay. Yeah.
Mm.
Because he's a footballer and he's, you know, he can tackle.
Yeah.
But his main...
He's a different style of player to those two, again, isn't he?
His main talent is being on the ball and getting us moving, which is something that we need right now.
Absolutely.
But maybe the pressure that's on the team, having old and experienced Eds in there and taking the pressure off players like that would be a good thing. Yeah. I mean... The pressure on Calvert-Lewin must be immense at the
minute.
I
think so. He's sort of our only recognised actual striker, isn't he?
Yeah.
Even he spent most of last season on the right out of position, didn't he? People are wondering, how come, you know, what do people see in him? Why does Coleman keep playing him?
Yeah.
Play him as a centre forward. I think he's a decent player, to be honest.
I do like him, It's just that, you know, he's only played 20 games, hasn't he, in the Premier League, or even for Everton at all. Yeah. And I don't know, I just think the pressure on him is immense. And it might be worth just throwing Rooney up front.
Yeah.
Just because we know he can handle it.
Yeah, yeah.
And he can play there. Yeah. Even if it's just for these next few games. And say, you know, even if you bring him off after 60 minutes, put him up front and have a striker that's experienced. Even if he's only three quarters of where the player he will be
somewhere
else. He's
got experience playing centre-forward, I wondered as well, would we benefit from a 4-4-2, an old-fashioned 4-4-2? But then I think, we've actually got any wingers who'd be able to cross the ball. You know, it's
That's one way you could bring Davies in, I suppose.
Yeah.
As having one holding and one slightly in front, which would be Davies and Rooney.
You could alternate maybe Rooney and Ramirez aside.
Oh, yeah.
Two of the three of them could play sort of you're up front. I know there's not much height there.
Yeah.
But it's something. It may be something different because do many teams still play 4-4-2? We might might just throw some of the opposition teams out who aren't used to playing against it these days.
Mm.
I mean, I remember the old days. I was watching some clips actually this morning before I went to work of the 1995 side with Limpar and then Kinchelskis as well.
Yeah.
We never really saw both of them with Ferguson at the same time because of injuries and suspensions, but I just thought, you know, to give even just for two of those three at the moment, can they register Ferguson? He's still on the staff. Register him, stick him up front just for his height, you know.
The ball if he'll do.
He used to love playing against Man U. Get him on tomorrow, you know, he's got a bag full. But is there anything else you want to add, Andy?
I just think we should give Koeman a bit more time. Let's see if he can sign that striker that we need in January. And let's just see how we do against teams that are not Champions League level first before we start getting too harsh. And right Thursday off as a one-off and let's just see what happens.
Absolutely. Thanks very much, Andy.
Yeah,
and that'll be all from us. I'll just finish off by saying thanks for listening. Hopefully Adam will be back soon. And it'll be Everton away to Manchester United tomorrow. And obviously we're going to win 44-0. Okay, ta-ra.
It's a grand old team to
the ball. And if you know your history, it's enough to make your heart go